Well, it's good to see all of you out with us this morning. Good you're able to be here. This morning we're going to be looking at this story of Jacob and Esau, as our brother Paul just read for us. And we're looking at the idea of the temporary and the eternal, or the earthly and the eternal, however you want to phrase it. Let's start by reading again Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 through 34. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of the red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. In this situation, you have Esau who is recognizing only what is temporary, only what is in the now, rather than considering what is later down the road. He is selling off his birthright, his reason or his particular right of possession, as it's defined, or privilege that one has from birth, given especially to the eldest child. And he's giving it away for sustenance, something temporary that is only going to satisfy him for a little while. He's going to become thirsty again. He's going to become hungry again. And yet he is giving away a great blessing from later down the road for this pot of stew. In a spiritual sense, for those of us, you know, when we are born again, becoming a child of God, we have the privilege of accessing the tree of life or an eternity with Christ. And so as we're looking at this story, we need to recognize here that we have an individual who is giving away his birthright, who is trading it away, throwing it away, if you will. And so what I want us to consider is, are we or have we been Esau in this same situation? Have we given away our birthright? Have we thrown it away for something temporary? And what exactly is our birthright? You know, under Jewish custom, the eldest child would normally receive a double portion of whatever the inheritance would be. And so when you're looking at our birthright, what is it that we may be throwing away or giving away for something temporary? Something that's not going to last us very long. There are three individuals that maybe come to our head very quickly that are giving away something eternal for something temporary. Esau being one. Another being the rich young ruler of Matthew 19, who has done all of these wonderful things, all of these wonderful requirements of the Lord. And Jesus says, "One thing you lack, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor." And the young man goes away sorrowful, for his possessions were great. And so he is neglecting what the eternal blessings would be because of his earthly, his temporary possessions. He's not valuing what he would gain by giving up what he has. And then another one that maybe comes to our mind would be the rich farmer of Luke chapter 12. Who's building up bigger barns and bigger barns and bigger barns so that he may have a nice life, a quieter life in the end. And that very night his soul is required of him. And so he spent all this time, all of this effort in making a life on earth that he might be able to live comfortably, that he has neglected a life of comfort in eternity. A life of rest. And so, we don't want to be like these gentlemen and give up great blessings for something temporary. Whether it be a job, riches, fame, wealth, whatever it might be, we don't want to give up the blessings of God for something that this earth tells us is more valuable. And so let's look at our birthright. Let's look at four different parts of our birthright to start. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. One of our first parts of our birthright is we become His child. We become His child and will be like Him once this life is over. We have the blessing of being called a son of God or a daughter of God, a child of God. Have you ever noticed that society judges you based on your family? You know, if you come from a family that's well known in the community, some things you might do might get overlooked because of who your family is. Or you might foster a better connection in a business deal or in wanting an appointment to something or just wanting to have a relationship by saying, oh, you know, so-and-so is my aunt or my uncle or my father. And you know, it's funny how people are referred to as, oh, you're Glenn's son, or oh, you're Caleb's dad, or you're Caleb's mom. My parents love to joke that in Humboldt, where they lived pretty much their entire lives, they're still known as Caleb's mom and dad, and not as Glenn and Crystal. You get known by those connections. What greater blessing would it be than to say we are a child of God? There's no greater name we could bear than God's own. And being like Him and being a part of His family. No greater blessing could we ever be given. And if you think of it from our society's way of looking at family relationships, how wonderful is it to say, I am His child. Second one is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Part of our birthright is that we have been bought with a price, meaning we are valued by God. You know, when you purchase something with a price, you are assigning value to it. You go into the store and you see a box and you see $4 on the price tag. And you make a determination, is that item worth the $4 or not? And if it's not, you might pass it by. And if it is, you might grab it and put it in your cart and go check out with it. Because you have valued that box as being worthy of being bought based on the price. God has bought us with a price. And what price did He pay? The sacrifice of His own Son. The sacrifice of His own child. He purchased us with that price. He has valued us. You know, sometimes in life, all we want to know is that we are appreciated, that we are cared for. You know, we could sum that up as saying we want to know that we are valued. We want to know that someone values us, cares enough about us that they would be there for us, help us. God, Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, as he's reminding the Corinthians who they belong to, is reminding them that you are valued by God. Thirdly, part of our birthright comes from a couple of different passages. First one being Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed according to heirs according to the promise. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, Paul says something similar to what he's told those in Galatia, to those in Rome, when he says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. This third part of our birthright really carries two ideas. Number one, we have an inheritance from God. God has given us something that we may inherit. He has given us the ability to be an inheritor of His great blessings. But also, did you notice? You are heirs according to the promise. That's plural. Do you notice Romans? You are heirs. We are children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. We have brothers and sisters. It's not just I'm the only child. I have brothers and I have sisters. I have a family, thanks to God. So He has given me an inheritance, and not to me only, but to now my new family. And hopefully my family is a little bit better than the situation in Genesis, and someone's not trying to trick me out of my birthright. No, we are fellow heirs. We are companions a long life's road, and we have an ability to inherit together the great blessings of God. Having a loving, caring family here on earth is a great blessing. Having a family who appreciates and cares for you. Not everyone's blessed with that. But through God, we have access to that family, to a family like that. We have access to a family that has been fit together by God in His grace and His mercy. And then our fourth part of this birthright comes from a very familiar passage to all of us, Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. You see, my citizenship as a child now, as part of my birthright, is in heaven, which is validating my birthright. Because I am now a part of this new kingdom that I've been born into. And not only do I have a place, a citizenship in this new kingdom, there my body will be transformed to be like God. You know, our bodies here have aches and pains, no matter the age. And with this current virus that's going on, you have individuals whose bodies will take weeks, months to heal from the damage that's been wrought by it. We don't have those type of bodies there. There's no pain. There's no sorrow. There's no sickness. There's no dying. There is happiness and joy and bliss as we are with the Father. And so, our birthright that we've been given by God is a great blessing. It is a great blessing that we are His child, that He has valued us, that He has purchased us, that we have an inheritance, that we have siblings, we have brothers, we have sisters, that we have a home in heaven, our citizenship in heaven, that our bodies will not be like this anymore. Why would we want to throw it away? Why would we want to throw away that inheritance, that birthright? You know, if we were in Genesis 25, and this was the birthright we were talking about, how many of us would trade it for a pot of stew? I don't see any hands going up. That's good. But you know what? We trade it for a lot less daily. We trade it for the little glitter of sin. We trade it for things of this earth. Well, I can get ahead today, build up a better life for myself, and then come back to it. You know who that sounds like? The farmer building the barns. Or, I've done everything else right, and so I'm going to give myself this little sliver of where I can do what I want to. You know who that sounds like? The rich young ruler. We have been given, my friends, a great gift. And yet we're willing to throw it away for minor passing joys of this life. There is importance in choosing what is eternal versus what is temporary. Jesus makes that clear in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, we can build up the greatest legacy here on this earth. You know what happens when we die? It's left for whoever is our heirs. We don't take a bit of it with us. We don't get to take any of our glory that we had here on earth. We don't get to take any of our finances that we may have amassed. We don't get to take any of that with us. It's all left for people still here. And so when we're looking at our treasures, where is our focus? On things that will rust and decay here on earth? Or are they where the Father is? Jesus goes on to say, just a few paragraphs later in that sermon, Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Christ points out we must seek first the kingdom of God. We may have worries here on earth. We may have concerns that we have. But first and foremost, we are to be seeking God and His kingdom. And the rest will fall into place if our motives and our attitude is set properly on seeking first what is first and foremost important, and that is God. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, that if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. Paul is reminding us that our focus should not be here on earth. It should be on things above, things of a spiritual nature. if we are focusing more on our life here on earth than we are on our life as a Christian, let me ask you first, which are you valuing more? You're valuing what is temporary. And by doing that, you're trading away your birthright for something here on earth. Paul also says to those in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul is reminding them that they are to look for that which yields eternal life. Esau gave up long-term blessings in order that his belly might be temporarily filled. Many others we read about in the Bible did the exact same thing. People gave up what would be a long-term benefit for something temporary. In Christ, we have all been offered a birthright. We all have been given this great blessing, being God's child, being valued, being bought with a price, being fellow heirs, so we have an inheritance, we have brothers and sisters, having our citizenship in heaven, and no longer having this body like it is. Christ has offered that to every one of us here this morning. And what that amounts to is an eternal prize, a heavenly, eternal home. So, are we Esau? Or are we Jacob? And I don't mean by Jacob saying the one who is getting someone else's birthright from them, but are we the one who is with the birthright or without? Esau chose what is temporary over what was eternal for him or long-lasting for him. Have we done the same? Have we chosen our birthright? Or have we chosen the passing pleasures of sin? All of us must live for Christ and make our dearest treasure life with Him in eternity. And so ask yourself this morning, have I done what God has required of me to inherit my birthright? You know, sometimes you'll see in wills and in final testaments that they would give this inheritance if certain conditions were met. I remember in my family, we watched a lot of the 80s and 90s sitcoms. And so I remember watching Mama's Family as a kid. And I remember there was one episode in the reboot part where Mama is going to inherit from her sister that has passed away in between the two shows. And there's a condition that's laid on her inheritance. She will only inherit it if she can go a week without saying one bad word, without yelling, without losing her temper one time within a week. And if she loses her temper one time in the week, the entire inheritance is donated to charity. There are requirements that are sometimes put on inheritance to collect. Sometimes a child has to be a certain age before they're able to get their inheritance.
Sometimes it's situations just like that. The child has to do certain situations, or the adult has to go through certain steps to receive their inheritance. God has freely given this inheritance to all of us, but there are requirements on our part to obtain it. Have we done what is necessary to inherit eternal life? To inherit our birthright given to us by God? Only you can answer that question for yourself. Only you know if you have done what you should to be a child of God. And so if you're here this morning and you need to become His child, or you need to come back to Him, would you not delay any longer? And would you not let us assist you? You'll let us know as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.